This is the Annie Fry Show.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. Appreciate you being with us. We are in our extra studio for one more day, and then I think tomorrow is the big day where at least our show gets to be back in there. I'm hoping that, is the Mark Hawk Show going to be in there tomorrow morning?
Yeah, that's my understanding.
We were the guinea pig for this studio, so we're really looking forward to the Mark Hawk Show being the guinea pig for the next show. So you're going to have to keep in, tune in tomorrow morning for sure to the Mark Hawk Show and let us know how we're doing. I wanted to play this clip for you right off the top of the bat. I usually don't start with the YouTube live chat poll, but I just thought that this was a really interesting thing by Hillary Clinton that I wanted to test.
I did not have to do it, Kara. I'm going to just cut to the chase. In fact, she's put out policies on her campaign website. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's truly interested can go and read about them. She referenced policies. Mm-hmm. She actually doesn't just have policies and concepts. She has, you know, plans about what to do. I think it's a, it's a double standard. And it's a double standard that is partly because they are still getting to know her, but also because they're still grappling with the idea like, oh, am I really going to vote for a woman to be president and commander in chief?
That's the problem, isn't it? She's the Democrat candidate. I don't know how to say this to Hillary, but these are your people who need to come up and support a woman. I'm going to ask the room here. Usually we save this for a little bit later in the show, but I want to start off the conversation here with this simple question, which could be really awkward in here. Would you vote for a woman for president? Yes or no? If you go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote and cat. I mean, guys, this is the opportunity to really be heard and put women in their place. Ryan?
I love women. I'd vote for women all over the place.
For president, for commander of chief?
Yeah.
Are you, as Hillary Clinton says, grappling?
Oh, no. I'm with her. I would, in fact, I'll tell you the truth. If her values aligned with mine, I would have voted for her. It has nothing to do with her gender.
Same question for both of you, but Ryan, you first. Let's just say, in a weird series of events, Nikki Haley got the nomination. It was Nikki Haley versus Joe Biden, or Nikki Haley versus the inevitable Kamala Harris. How are you casting your vote in November?
I'm voting for the person who closely aligns with my values, which would be, in that case, Nikki Haley.
And Nikki Haley, for the things that maybe some of us might be thinking, I don't really love that about her. I don't love this about her. To what extent is Nikki Haley more preferable than Kamala Harris or Joe Biden?
I'm going to go away with 100%, Annie. Where's the
Lock
bell?
It in! Lock it
Where's
in!
Where's the bell?
We don't have... Oh, we do.
Yeah.
The bell made it over. I hope it makes it back. Brad, tough question. Would you vote for a woman for president, yes or no?
That's not a tough question. That's an easy yes. They just have to be qualified and the best candidate for the job.
Rick says absolutely would support a qualified candidate for president, male or female, if we can figure out what a woman is. isn't it weird that we have Hillary Clinton out here saying, like, you know, people are really struggling with the idea of supporting a woman. Does she think, you know, she wrote a book. It's called What Happened. I didn't read it. The only parts of the Hillary Clinton book, What Happened, that I read, from 2014 to 2016, I was sitting in wide-eyed on Sunday nights with the Mark Cox Show, which was a Sunday night show on the weekends here on 97.1. And that's how I got my start on air. And then, obviously, Hillary Clinton lost in 2016. And then sometime after that, she wrote that book called What Happened. And I think it was the best thing to ever happen to Mark Cox. Because there was an audio version of that book. And she read it.
Oh, no way.
And he just picked out some very specific... I mean, I guarantee you that he has those clips.
Oh, yeah.
There is a one... And how do I say this? I guess just say it. That's just a quote. Hillary Clinton is telling the story, and Hillary Clinton is talking about the debate, which I believe was the one here in St. Louis. Wasn't that the one where they were both standing
with
up?
With the mic?
And she's reading about Donald Trump, like, following behind her, gripping the microphone. Extra hard. That's in the greatest hits of the Mark Hawk Show. But I mean, in her What Happened book, in between Russia and all that stuff, was the fact that she was a woman.
No.
One of the main reasons why she's not the president right now?
No, I think it was her. I mean, it was her specifically. I think this blaming it on sexism or something like that was just cope on her behalf. People didn't like Hillary Clinton, but they would vote for a woman that they did like, that they did agree with, that they did trust. And I don't think they, I just think Americans didn't trust her and they went with the unknown over the known quantity that was Hillary Clinton.
You know what's really funny? I can watch right now the subscriptions to the YouTube channel mm-hmm. go up as the no's on the poll go up. So there are people who are subscribing. And it's funny, too, because you can tell, like, when there's somebody new, you can check out their profile when they created it. Mm-hmm. And it's usually today.
Today.
Anywho, you have to subscribe.
I do want to add something to this conversation. And that is that I do think...
Can you explain it to me?
That we... Yes, I can. I'm going to manspread here while I do it.
Mansplain!
No, manspread.
I don't want to put...
He's going to manspread while mansplaining.
Face that way.
Okay, I'm going to manspread, but I'll face the other way.
Yeah.
I do think that women are held to different standards than men. I think there is no doubt about that.
Is this sincere?
This is sincere.
Because that's true.
However, it's not just men holding women to different standards. It's women holding women to different standards. So it's not misogyny. It's
facts
just
and
different.
Facts.
Yes.
I do it myself, and I know that I'm doing it myself, and I know that it's unfair. And I say this as somebody, I don't know how much you guys really get the feedback for the show. Like, I don't know if you ever...
You're seeing it way more than we are.
I do, but I manage all of our show's social media. But as a female who consumes media, if I'm listening to the radio, I'm going to hear things in a woman's voice that a man would never pick up on just by virtue of being tapped into those types mm-hmm. of things, or little tics, or little things that they do, or that's another thing about the Kamala laugh. I do think that women are more likely to be annoyed by Kamala's laugh than men are. And I actually do think, this is just anecdotal, just my opinion. Go on to the Annie Fry Show and roast me in the comments on the YouTube channel. Just subscribe first. That women pick up on those things because they are acutely aware of their own idiosyncrasies that they either A, don't like about themselves, or have heard before about themselves in criticism, probably from other women. That it's problematic. But the way women laugh, the way women talk, you know, I've talked on the air about how, like, the vocal fry. Oh my gosh, why are you even talking? Anybody, men or women, but women are much more apt to do that. When women present themselves in a strong, confident way, they start to pull all of that back, the vocal fry, the up talk at the end, right? Don't say right. Just say what you mean. You don't need people to visually affirm that what you just said that they agree with. Right? I can't.
I yes. Kamala does so much of that stuff.
Yes, it's the head bob.
She's been trained out of it for 2 months.
Do you know what the head bob is? The Kamala head bob?
Yeah, where when she's talking, she's affirming it as she's saying
just,
it.
She's just telling you that you agree with her.
Yes.
I never thought of it that way, but that is kind of what
people
she's
don't
doing.
Like that.
Yeah, that's the thing that I said. It reminds me of, like, being in the principal's office. Because I have distinct memories of
was your principal a woman?
Assistant principal. And they would say something.
Do you want to give her name and address?
No, absolutely not.
Tell us what you did wrong.
No. It was 72 degrees.
Mine was mainly attendance.
It was a late October afternoon.
I was in attendance, constantly missing school and whatnot.
You missed school a lot?
Oh, yeah. I hated going to school. So, if there was an excuse not to go, I wouldn't go.
This is the woman's fault?
No.
That's what I'm getting.
No. I was there. Yeah. I was there for a very important reason. Right to be in trouble, but when she would talk to me, she would do that whole thing, that head bob thing.
But you were a child.
Yes.
Different.
Yes. And
you are now a voter, and she wants to be your president.
That's why it bothers me now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm an adult. Make your case. Don't state your facts.
Kamala.
Yes. Make your case,
Brian,
to me.
There's a part of me that thinks that Kid Brad was saying to the principal, you need to make your case.
Kid Brad was sitting there going, this lady is demeaning me right now. I'd rather talk to the truancy officer than this lady.
Is there a man I could speak to?
I need to have this conversation man to man, you know what I mean?
But there are more.
For the record, that Brad's not sexist at all.
The stuff that Kamala was doing, and again, she's been trained out of most of it. She knows she's got to get through 2 months. But she was still doing, at the debate, the thing where she leans her hand under her chin and was like, okay.
Oh, man.
And I'll tell you what, I heard more women criticize that than I did men.
But this is the thing. It's not simply that she's doing these things. She's doing them in place of policy, leadership, and principles. Like, it's supposed to be enough. Mm-hmm. And then, oh man, I want to say bad words. Bologna sausage. Hillary Clinton here is telling us that the reason why people don't want to support her is just because she's a woman. No, put up. Do something. Show us how you are talking to the American people in a way that shows us that you understand the American people. Tell us how you understand that. I mean, my husband and I were just talking about this. We are trying to figure out where our money is going because we had for a while really been working up on a good savings account. And it's just we're not capable of doing it the way we did before. And we're busting our butts and we're working hard. I told him, I said, you know, maybe we're sending our kid to a Lutheran high school now. So we have two different schools and I would live on the street myself before I would take my kids out of those Lutheran schools. But just trying to make sure that we plan ahead. We try to make our payments ahead of time so that we don't get behind on the things that matter. And if we run out of money before the end of the week, then we know we got to pull back or whatever. But We make a solid income for our family. And this is not the case for everybody who's going to go vote right now. And when you're listening to Kamala Harris speak, like, she's filling time. You remember writing those research papers? All you needed to know was the length of the paper, and you filled the pages.
I had a phrase I would use every single time. And I would end multiple sentences with, "in its own inherent right." Because you couldn't question, like, it sounds smart, but it means nothing.
That's
and
amazing.
It pads words.
I'm going to make a shirt.
In its own inherent right.
In its own.
Yeah. Try it at the end of any sentence.
Inherent right.
Would you vote for a woman for president in her own inherent right? Makes no sense, but it sounds
but
smart.
But it's longer.
Yeah, it's
probably
longer.
Twice as long.
Yeah.
Oh, man. YouTube live chat poll for today. We need to hear from you. Would you vote for a woman for president? Because you've got Hillary Clinton out here. And this is the thing about this that really, really irks me is that the presentation of, you know, some people just aren't ready for a female commander in chief. You need Democrats to show up to vote for Kamala Harris. So if your accusation is that there aren't enough people willing to show up to vote for Kamala Harris to put her over the top of Donald Trump, that's a Democrat problem. That's on them. In my opinion, I got no problem voting for a woman should she be the right one, you know, in her own inherent right.
Thank you very much. And we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. The segment qualifies to close. Do I have a second? Go vote on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and let us know if you would vote for a woman president, yes or no. And don't forget to leave us a comment and tell us why you voted the way you did. Katie said, yes, I would vote for a woman for president if she stands for my values and freedom. Gender does not make a difference. And I'm as old-fashioned as you can get. Yeah, Katie. We'll be right back.
When I told some people in Washington, yeah, I'm going up to New York, we're doing a campaign speech, they said, what do you mean New York? You can't ever, nobody can win. Republicans can't win. I said, I can win New York, and we can win New York. We're going to win New York. And if you vote for me, I'm going to reduce your taxes, reduce your crime, and reduce your levels of stress. Because you have a lot of stress. The only thing that I will increase are your incomes and your love for your state will come roaring back again.
So Donald Trump in New York yesterday, a lot of people questioning why he took the time to be in New York. And if you didn't get to see him on Gutfeld yesterday, it is must watch television. He's back in action after a second attempt on his life. And we are very grateful to have the Trump 2024 National Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt, with us right now. Caroline, thank you for being with us today. It's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
You bet. I want to ask you about the campaign and how the campaign functions under this duress, this two attempts on Donald Trump's life. There's no reason to think that there won't be more in the 47 days that are left. How do you campaign for president knowing that there are people who want Donald Trump dead?
Yeah, well, it's a very harsh reality, and it's unfortunate we live in a country in a moment in time where this is the reality for President Trump. And it's sad to say that the violence that has taken place is a result of the rhetoric, the inflammatory rhetoric that has been used against President Trump now, the culmination of 8 years, the Democrats calling him a threat to democracy, a wannabe dictator. Both of those things are lies, and the Democrats know their lies. They can't win this election on the issues that matter to voters at home, so they've been espousing these lies about President Trump, and it has led to real violence. The shooter on Sunday echoed some of that same rhetoric on his own social media, and it's a scary time. We are very grateful to the protective detail around President Trump on the United States Secret Service that has acted swiftly and courageously in both of these instances. But, you know, our whole entire campaign has had to take additional measures to not only protect President Trump, but our staff. And it's just, again, it's a sad reality in the moment we live in.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he's made this comment multiple times since this past weekend about how it's like makes it even more important for him. His resolve is hardened as to why he's doing what he's doing. And the purpose behind victory is even more clear now. We're speaking with Caroline Leavitt, the Trump 2024 National Press Secretary. Talk to me about the decision to make an appearance in New York. That was a packed crowd. That was a rowdy crowd. The people in that stadium, they loved Donald Trump. And I haven't seen the videos suggesting that Donald Trump was bussing those people in like I've seen people being bussed into the Kamala Harris events.
Well, people can say a lot about President Trump's rallies. One thing you can't say is that he has to bus in supporters from other states. Everywhere this man goes, he packs the house with residents who are so excited that he's going to their town. In this case, it was Uniondale, New York on Long Island. And President Trump loves New York, as you heard him talk about last night. It's his home state. I mean, his fingerprints are literally on the skyline of New York City. He built the city into the place that it is today over his decades-long career as a real estate and businessman, and it's his home. And he's saddened to see what has happened to New York, especially New York City, because of Democrat policies. And he talked a lot last night about the quality of life issues that New Yorkers are facing and promised them that he's going to make not only this country, but New York affordable again, safe again. He's going to restore law and order in our cities, in our communities. He's going to cut taxes for the people of New York. Last night, he pledged, you know, he reiterated his pledge to end taxes on overtime and taxes on tips for service workers, which we know there are a lot of in New York. And he also announced a new policy to temporarily cap interest rates on credit cards at 10%. So we know that credit card debt in this country is at an all-time high because of the inflation caused by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So that will provide some temporary relief for New Yorkers and all Americans. So it was a great speech last night. Anyone who didn't tune in, I'd encourage them to go to our social media and check out some of the clips, because President Trump was on fire and really fired up by the energy that was in the room. We packed the house. 60,000 people signed up for tickets last night. Unfortunately, only 16,000 were allowed in the venue, but it was an amazing night.
Is it the campaign's position that New York is in play?
It is. You heard President Trump say it last night. Absolutely. He believes he can win New York. And when you look at the data, I mean, he's closing the gap in New York greater than any Republican ever has. So it's certainly possible, I think, more than ever. And we are continuing to go on offense in these traditionally blue states, such as New York and New Jersey, Minnesota, Virginia. These are states that haven't been won by a Republican in a very long time. But in many of them, President Trump is coming close. And in some, he's even winning in certain polls.
Yeah. Well, I live across the river here in St. Louis in Illinois. When I see you guys showing up there, I'm going to know something is really afoot. But I'm your girl if that ends up happening to be the case. I want to talk to you about the Teamsters president, Sean O'Brien, and this comment.
Well, listen, we interviewed both candidates, and we were seeking commitments from both candidates, and we couldn't get solid commitments on our core issues like the PRO Act, like vetoing national right to work, like staying out of labor disputes and not trying to force any contracts on us, like what happened to our brothers and sisters in the rail industry. We didn't get solid commitments from either candidate, which was a major factor in our decision as a general executive board not to endorse any candidate.
The Teamsters did not endorse the Democrat, as they are traditionally apt to do. They also didn't endorse Donald Trump, but it turns out Donald Trump has quite the majority of support with the members of the Teamsters Union. What does the campaign make of that pretty impactful announcement yesterday?
This is a huge win for President Trump, a huge loss for Kamala Harris. This is the first time in decades that the Teamsters chose not to endorse the Democrat candidate, just proving that Kamala Harris is a train wreck when it comes to our economy and when it comes to fighting for the American worker. She has made the lives of American workers, these forgotten men and women of this country who are the backbone of this country, she's made their lives more difficult. And they remember when President Trump was in office, he stood up for the American worker. He negotiated good trade deals around the world to increase their pay and to keep their jobs here at home. He fought for them in terms of, you know, bringing down the cost of living in this country, cutting their taxes too, putting more money back into their pocketbooks. You know, you have to remember, President Trump, again, is a real estate man. And in New York, he dealt with the unions for years. I've heard him personally tell stories about his work with the unions. And he talked about it last night in New York as well. You know, the concrete guys, the concrete unions who, you know, helped him build many of the buildings that exist in the New York skyline today. So he has a long history with unions. He understands, and he understands the workers. And, you know, the leadership at these unions has been entrenched in Democrat politics for decades. But what really matters is the support of the millions of working men and women who comprise these unions. And as the poll showed yesterday, they overwhelmingly support President Trump. And we are grateful for that support. President Trump will continue to fight for them, stand up for them, and speak on their behalf.
We're speaking with Caroline Levitt. She's the Trump 2024 National Press Secretary. Encourage you to go to DonaldJTrump.com for more information. I want to ask you, we've talked a lot about President Trump, and we know what President Trump has to offer. We've lived it before. We have a pretty good idea of what Kamala Harris at least is okay with, because she's the Vice President of the United States, and she has signed on to serve at the pleasure of the president, as they say, as the Vice President for Joe Biden. So it's very hard to detach Kamala Harris, the candidate, from Kamala Harris, the Vice President, responsible for the last 3 years, 8 months of inflation, economic turmoil, border policy abdication. These are her policies. She gets in front of a few microphones, a few cameras here more lately. And when asked questions, she says absolutely nothing. And my estimation with my listeners is that people are starting to grow frustrated with her unwillingness to commit to making an actual point. And I'm wondering if you think that that is the way that she's going to carry out the rest of this campaign. What do you think of Kamala Harris's job as a candidate so far for president?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, President Trump knows where he stands on the issues. He has conviction and he has a real clear plan to solve the challenges Americans are facing. Kamala Harris is the complete opposite. She is something that she is not something that President Trump is, and that's authentic. Kamala Harris is a phony politician. If you've noticed the last the debate and the last two interviews she has given, she has been asked, how are you going to fix the economy? And she recites the same talking points that were given to her advisors about how she grew up in a middle class family. Okay, many of us did. Millions of Americans grew up in middle class families. That doesn't mean you're equipped to fix the very real large economic problems this country is facing. She cannot explain how she's going to fix inflation. She flip-flops on issues like fracking, for instance. And look, she's long supported a ban on fracking. The only reason she does it now is because it's a death sentence to winning Pennsylvania, and her advisors know it, so they've told her to flip the script. But as soon as Kamala Harris is in office, on day one, she will implement her long-promised ban on fracking. So people need to look at her record, and her record is one of the most liberal records this country has ever seen. She's supported defunding the police. She's voted to raise taxes on the American people repeatedly. She's voted for radical environmental bills like the Green New Scam that have created a wacky electric vehicle mandate that is going to kill our auto industry. So look, she is a dangerous liberal. Her record proves it. She's doing what politicians do, and she's lying to get elected, and she'll go right back to her very liberal ways as soon as she is in office. I mean, look at what she's done over the past 4 years. It tells you all you need to know. She's been vice president. She's overseen the border crisis, the inflation crisis. Those problems are her problems. She helped create them. She cannot be trusted to solve them now.
Yeah, those are just the facts. I mean, people may not like to hear that, but those are just legitimately the facts. Caroline Levitt with us right now, the Trump National 2024 National Press Secretary. I've got a list here that I was just jotting down. Putin, Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, among among other people. And now we find out that Iran, when they tried to swipe emails from the Trump campaign, wanted to, you know, hand them over to the Harris Walls campaign to see how they could help them out. If you were on the left 15 or 20 years ago, and you heard these people were endorsing a candidate, it would be like the priority reason not to support that candidate. But now the Democrats are real excited for the candidate of Putin and Iran and the Cheneys and Adam Kinzinger. What do you make of some of these strange company of people who are saying, Kamala Harris, she's your girl?
It's absurd that someone who believes they're a conservative or says they're a conservative like Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger could vote for such a radical liberal like Kamala Harris, who, by the way, yesterday was caught on video. Our campaign pushed it out, saying previously that she wants to go into the homes of law-abiding gun owners and take their guns. Those are her words, not mine. Go look it up. It is crazy. I mean, Kamala Harris is anti-Second Amendment, anti-free speech, anti-Israel. She mocks the Constitution. She has, again, supported some of the worst policies this country has ever seen. Medicare for all. She wants to take people off of their private health insurance. I mean, she is as liberal as one can get. So anyone who considers themselves not even just conservative, you know, President Trump says this all the time, it's more about common sense. If you want common sense, if you want to have law and order, not to defund the police, but to support them, if you want to have a secure border and a legal immigration system, not an illegal immigration invasion, there's only one option on the ballot, and it is President Trump. And by the way, you're right to say Putin is supporting Kamala Harris. She has essentially endorsed her in this election because he knows that with her, he can continue to get away with this invasion in Ukraine, continue to rip off the United States, and he can continue to cozy up to China, which is something that neither China nor Russia were allowed to do when President Trump was in the Oval Office.
Caroline Levitt, last question for you. Do you feel confident about a Donald Trump victory? Is there still work to be done by the people listening to this show right now and taking in this podcast that they can help get him across the too big to rig finish line?
Well, look, there is always more work that needs to be done, and we're calling on everyone who supports President Trump and wants to see him get elected to help us out. You can go to DonaldJTrump.com to sign up to volunteer. We need people in this final stretch to help us get out the vote, and also go to SwampTheVoteUSA.com. That is our website for voter turnout and registration and to get people out to the polls. So we would greatly appreciate everyone going on and chipping in, and we need all the help we can get. Look, we're ahead in many of these polls. We feel very good about the race. President Trump definitely has the momentum, but we're not going to take anything for granted. And it's going to be a tight race. We've always said that. So all hands on deck. We got 47 days. And let me tell you, President Trump, our team, we are working around the clock every day. We don't stop working. It's a 24/7 job here on out.
Caroline, we really appreciate your time. And I'm encouraging everybody listening right now, there is something you can do with your feet, with your wallet, with your phone, with your voice. Go to DonaldJTrump.com. Caroline Levitt, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Take care.
Yes, you as well. And good luck to you on the campaign. Let's take a quick break here. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Would you vote for a woman for president? I think I'd vote for her. I'm okay with that. And yeah, we're going to play that clip a little bit later in the show of Kamala Harris. She talks about the sanctity of your home. And when she was the Attorney General of California, she had something to say about the sanctity of your home. We'll play that for you later in the show. 105, if everything goes according to plan, Tyrus is going to be on with us. And yesterday, Tyrus gave up his chair on Gutfeld to whom? Donald Trump. And he sat right next to him. I can't wait to have that conversation at 105. Wiggins America, next. Don't go away.
Not about mortality, but I do think more about God, because, okay, Butler was really the greatest of all miracles. If I'm not looking over there, and I mean a full turn, exactly 90 degrees, I wouldn't be here right now, and your ratings would be a little bit lower, perhaps.
Yeah. We'd have Kilmeade there.
We have to tell the story of how we first met. The ratings over, remember that?
Yes.
One week he just played that thing? But I do think about that because the chart, it was basically an immigration chart. We had our lowest numbers that we've ever had
in immigration, and I very rarely use it, maybe 15-20%. It's always on my left, and it's always at the end of a speech. So now I said, bring down the chart, right at the very beginning, almost like the first sentence of the speech. Bring down that chart, because immigration is such a big thing now with, you know, our country being basically taken over by Venezuela and lots of other people. So I said, bring down the chart, and the chart drops down, and I go, look at those numbers, and I look over to the right, and ping, and that was not, I knew something was definitely wrong.
So there's Donald Trump last night in studio on Gutfeld, and it was such a great, great episode of that show. If you've never watched Gutfeld before last night, that's the episode you got to go find and you got to watch. But he said he doesn't, Gutfeld asked him if he thinks about his mortality, and he said, no, but I do think about God more. And I found that to be an interesting reaction. I've heard him say that before, but he talked a little bit more in length on that. We anticipate speaking with Tyrus in about 15 minutes from now, 20 minutes from now. So you're going to want to keep it right here. We might even connect to him on video this time on the live stream. We're going to try to make that happen. So stick around for that. The YouTube live chat poll, would you vote for a woman for president? Yes or no? We were watching as your comments are rolling in here. And Helen said, I would vote for a woman as president if she was the most qualified in line. My values. Men tend to be a little less emotionally based, and that can offer a more level head during tumultuous times. I've seen a couple of comments about that. People who are making the point that women tend to be more emotional. I think that you can have emotional men, and I think you can have less emotional women. But I also think that if you have a preference, man or woman, don't you think that there are some liberals out there who would prefer a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. That, I mean, that's a selling point. They're trying to make that front and center of even this campaign.
But I mean, they would say, if you went and asked, if you went to a Kamala Harris rally and you went up and said to a voter there, a rally goer there, would you prefer, what's your preference for president? Would you prefer a woman or would you prefer a man? I think a lot of them would be willing to answer that question. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Can you say that you prefer a man?
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't know that you can.
That's the point.
Maybe as a Republican you can. As a Democrat, you definitely cannot.
I think as a Republican you can't.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a context where that would work. Most it would not. Yeah, I think you're right.
But I think you can say that you would prefer a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Which I find kind of odd and interesting. There are people who are going to say that women think about things, maybe handle more things at once better. I think women are better multitaskers. I don't think that that's, you know, if you're just talking men and women, not like free world management, but yeah, like in your own households that you've grown up, when you were managing your household, how much of the house was managed by the woman and how much was managed by the man? I definitely don't think that women are inferior in any way, shape or form, but you obviously have different skills. And I find it interesting that you could go out and vocalize to somebody with confidence and actual pride to say, no, I think I would prefer a woman be the president. But if you went to a Trump rally and you asked a rally goer there, would you prefer a man or a woman to be president? If they said man, you'd be all over Rachel Maddow that night, okay. Joy Reid, blah, blah, blah.
I think there are Daily Show or some videos like that out there during the primary of this presidential election where people were asking, like they were going deliberately to Republican areas and conventions and things and asking people, would you prefer Nikki Haley or Donald Trump? And is it because she's a woman? And almost exclusively, everybody was like, no, 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 it has nothing to do with it. But anybody who would even hesitate to answer that question in the affirmative, they would air it and they would like zoom in. I mean, they would make a big deal out of look at these misogynists. So I think you're right. I don't think you can say it like in civil society.
You can't go be like, no, I totally prefer a man. They're way more level headed, less emotional. You can't do that.
No.
But everybody, not everybody, a lot of people will be thinking it. And I don't know that it's so, I don't know that it's the worst.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
It's just your preference, you know? Like, yeah, everybody gets to have their preference. And I'm not mad at people who would say they prefer a woman.
I'm here to help you right before we hit the top of the hour. Execute the perfect nap.
Can we do that at, like, 3?
No, no, you have to do it now.
No, 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 no.
You have to store this information for when you're ready to go to sleep. Are you a napper?
It sounds lovely.
It does?
Yeah.
But do you execute the nap?
I can nap.
You can nap.
Well, I just get to do it so infrequently.
Okay.
But yesterday was a good example. I didn't have anything to do. Wednesdays are kind of off days for extracurriculars and stuff. And I went home and I was flipping through things to watch, but the kids needed to do homework and Jared needed them to do stuff. So I put on a fall scene on YouTube that plays this like nice kind of jazz music in the background. And it's just leaves falling on a cabin in the woods. And man, I was gone.
Oh man. I'm going to start with this one then.
Okay.
There are ways to execute the perfect nap,
mm-hmm.
Brad and Annie. One of them is to set the scene for sleep.
That has to happen.
So you've got that. Once you've decided on a good time for a nap, you'll want to settle your body into a rest. Falling asleep midday when the sun is shining can admittedly be challenging, but not impossible.
Cool and dark.
You got it. Set the scene. And one of those kind of like screensaver things, they do help. It's in the winter, it's a fire on the TV or whatever. Maybe sometimes a snow scene that helps. The next one. Don't nap too late in the day.
I would agree with that one, because if you
but that's not a problem with napping. That's a problem with falling asleep later.
Yeah, I was going to say, you nap, but then you wake up, and then you're up till 2:30, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
But you don't want to have consequences to your nap. So that would not be executing the perfect nap.
Well, you want consequences. You just don't want bad consequences.
I feel like you're talking. Will you bob your head when you're saying this?
I will in the future, though.
Super patronized.
I'll
just like Kamala.
I'll do it with this one.
Okay.
Annie, don't force it.
He's really good at that.
Thank you very much.
A flashback.
This is the best one of the whole list, I think. It says, just because you feel tired doesn't mean you'll actually be able to fall asleep. And that's okay.
Rest.
Approaching a nap with a goal to rest
is
more helpful than putting yourself under pressure to actually sleep.
I would almost rather be in that place in between napping and being completely lucid and engaged. That is super restful in the middle of the day.
Yes, it is. And that is one that I have a hard time with, because I'll find myself going, oh, I got a few minutes here. I'd love to get a little REM in, and I can't. Even losing my religion, I could listen to whatever.
good to lose your religion.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't really love, but I'd listen to it just to get some in. Keep naps short and sweet. So don't go past 20 to 30 minutes.
That's a REM cycle.
Yes, it is. Don't go past 20 to 30 minutes, because if you do, you're really going into a bigger sleep than you really need. It's beyond napping at that point, and you are going to affect the rest. Yeah, says that article. Do you find yourself able to sleep longer than 20 to 30 minutes?
There are times where a Sunday afternoon nap, if that is a possibility, there are times where I will come home from church and fall asleep at like noon, maybe. And I'll wake up at 4.
I know, I do the same thing.
It's the best. And at 4, I'm like, gosh, I could just keep sleeping, but I should probably get up so that I just relocate down to the couch with the kids.
I don't know if I could do noon to 4. I think about 2 hours is where I max out, two and a half hours maybe.
It just depends on the week that leads up to it, the weekend that you had.
Yeah. Be consistent. Some of us just need an occasional nap on days we're feeling especially sluggish, relaxing on vacation, or recovering from a bad night's sleep. But if you're a frequent napper, experts advise making a routine around it. So it's helpful to have your brain on a schedule for napping rather than just grabbing sleep whenever you can.
This just doesn't really fit in the lifestyle that I have right now.
Yeah, me either.
Nothing about my schedule, really, other than about 11 to 3 is mine.
And maybe this applies to you if you're listening and you're retired. My mother-in-law is retired. She lives near us, so we kind of know her schedule based on when she could pick up the kids if we ever need her, things like that. She has a nap schedule that is to be envied. I mean, it is every day at about 1:30. She's out for about 30 minutes to an hour, and then she's back up.
What time does she wake up?
I'm going to say 9-ish, kind of late. She stays up late, and then she naps a little bit in the day.
Up?
I'm going to say 1 o'clock.
Well, that's like my retirement plan.
Isn't that nice?
No, I want that.
I do too. That was college for me, and now it's not at all. I have to wake up at
I don't
least
know if
7.
This is an indictment on this segment, but Squirrels for Trump on YouTube says a nap right now sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is. I apologize.
About you.
Just keep it here for another couple minutes, and we'll get back
How
to those fun commercials
three?
That you love.
Yeah. Hey. We're feeding our family.
Wake back up with a post-nap routine.
Oh, gosh.
Just as waking up in the mornings feels easier when you're getting immediate sunlight, showering, exercising, or whatever you do, this should apply to your nap as well.
You know,
have a post-nap routine.
You know what? Like, when I have officially made it and I'm just, like, spending money on things that are it's just fun, I will have remote control curtains.
Oh.
Because if you're laying in bed and you know it's time to get up and you could open the curtains and let the sun come pouring in without having to get up to do it, if that's not first world, I don't know what it is. And I said, that's when I will have officially made it. I do not have this in my house right now. I don't know that I ever will. But just the thought of being able to open your curtains
without
to let
moving.
The sun in without having to move or set them at a timer, like what an alarm system that would be. You can get lights that you sit next to your bed that emit sunlight at any amount of time to help reset. Is it your circadian rhythm?
That sounds right.
Is that a thing or is that like
a
locust?
No.
Cycle.
That's a circadian rhythm.
Oh. Just checking.
It's every 13 years.
Yeah. I don't want to do the wrong one.
Right. Last one.
Maybe
make
that's
sure.
what I've been doing this whole time.
Yeah, you
I got the dang locust thing going on.
Yeah, you just wrote it down wrong.
Yeah.
Be sure to practice circadian rhythm. Oh, shoot. I just wrote it
this
wrong.
This is supposed to be my year. I screwed this up so big.
The last one. Make sure you're also focusing on getting a good night's sleep. I don't know how that applies to your naps, but I guess it does. Getting a good night's sleep will help you nap better, apparently.
I'm going to take that article from you and research it, get back to it in about 20 years.
How about we all take a nap for about 5 minutes?
If you lay down on the floor right here and it was quiet for 20 minutes, would you fall asleep?
Yes.
Brad, would you?
No.
No.
I could fall asleep in the dentist chair.
Sarah, wake up. Your appointment is over. Tyrus, next.